July the 21st, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talk, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulih al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 10, Ayah 14. Pardon me. First shall be last. The spiritual life was first. Now it is last. The Quran, Surah 10, Ayah 14, you inherit land to test your conduct. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 20, Allah made man from the dust. Matthew 20:16, the first shall be last, then first. Scripture says that it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And it also says that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What was first? The human being. Was a spiritual life first? Society tells this, not just Scripture. You study the history of developing society and the history of mankind or the community of people, and you will find that the first leaders were spiritual leaders. And in so-called primitive society, right now, their chief leader is a spiritual leader. They have not changed from the old baby order of society for mankind. They are still in that baby stage where their spiritual leader is their chief over the president or whatever. He is their chief. He is the boss. And they live in the backwoods of South America or somewhere, or on the sand of some desert somewhere, wherever they are, in caves, tents, or whatever, they are under a seaman or a spiritual leader, a witch doctor or something, because the spiritual life is the first life, and leadership that form for that life is the first leadership. It says the first shall be last. Now look at the modern industrial world. Is the spiritual life first? No. What life is first? Commercial life. Right now, the first life is the commercial life. So what is going to take Bush out or keep him in? The war in Iraq, you might say. How we vote on his performance and how he lets the war in Iraq affect our vote. Some of you will say that that is true, but what is at base in the interest to stay in Iraq? Is it democracy or is it oil? And the control for dollars. I'm not putting Bush down. Economic interest is very important, extremely important. I'm not saying that to criticize him. I'm saying that to keep the eyes open while I talk. As the brother says, talk. I like to speak, but he said talk. That's okay. I think I know where he's coming from. It's beautiful. Well, he doesn't mean that talk that has to walk. He is talking about real talk. Allah made man from dust to be an industrialist. Allah made man from the dust. So the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The last for man was industry. He came as a spiritual life. And then he got engaged, turned on his brain to his environment, and understand that his life needed a mate to mate with his physical environment to produce wealth. So to produce the comfort his wife wanted, etc. So he engaged the physical environment. And in time, he became an industrialist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's man, when he created him to be an industrialist. So when God says that he made man from the dust, he means to tell you that you are made of material that needs development, and your destiny is to go from dust to industry. Dust stings, not adhering. So dust is not adhering, just is not staying together. The least little wind can blow the members apart and send them floating in the air. But if the dust will receive moisture and become germinated after moisture, or the germ in it be germinated by moisture and feed on the sun and on the air and on the things that are in the ground or what ground in the water, it can live again to support life. Plants shall be plants small and big, and see industry develop and grow. So industry comes from the things, the growth, the earth grows. That's how we get industry. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayah 7, throne was on the water, sea water. So this is man's sensitivity of the intellect and the soul. Water is a body that is very sensitive. The only time it loses that is when it is frozen. The sensitivity is necessary to get life started. So if people are insensitive, you can't begin to establish them in an order directed like governed or society. Most un-Islamic people, most unestablished people are those who have grown insensitive, dry of the water of human feelings. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayah 7, throne was on the water. So dear beloved people, understand that. And Allah says that his throne, his first established on the water. Isn't that what Allah says in this book? You who read it, that his throne was first established on the water. What does that tell us? That those who move from the principle of pure faith and spiritual faith to a principle of social order and development, still your salvation is safe. It was established on the water, and water is still needed on the land, for a land without water is called what? In the Quran, a dead land. Is that not right? It is a dead land, and we know that for a fact. Yes. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayah 7, Allah's throne was on the water. Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishermen of men. John 21:6, cast net on right side. John 20:15, Jesus gardener after resurrection. So we know in the Quran Allah's throne covers the whole of creation. So his throne extends over the heavens and the earth and the skies and the earth. The same Quran says that his throne was on the water. What is it saying? What is water? Man's sensitivity, the sensitivity of the intellect and the soul, the sensitivity of the intellect and the soul. So it is expedient that I go away. That was proper in its time, in its place. But then it's necessary to begin a learning process. So is that right? So we find Jesus calling the people first, what? At the water. Come, I will make you a fisherman of men. And even instructed them so they would be able to fish better, he said, cast your net to the right side of the boat. Is that right? He gave them instruction at sea. And they said when they threw their nets to the right, they brought in fish abundant. Is that right? So then he brought them, led them to the land. And then he taught them in the land not to trust the language, pardon me, not to trust the learning of this world. Trust faith in God. Is that right? So John 20:15, Jesus got there after resurrection. Then he said, it is expedient that I go away. And he went away. And it is said that they saw him again in the garden after his death. And he was working as a gardener, not a fisherman. What grows in the ground? Shows patterns of growth. It shows sequence, stages of development, a seed, a sprout, a body, leaves, flowers, seeds, fruit. Is that right? That's symbolic of a learning process. So Jesus gardener signs gardener underneath rivers. The Quran Surah 98, Ayat 8, garden underneath rivers flow. So the second Christ, he is seen in a garden. Is that right? Yes. As Jesus is a sign, Muhammad, and he will give you gardens underneath which rivers flow to abide therein forever. You won't have to wait for the intercourse. You won't have to wait for the Holy Ghost to strike you. The Quran Surah 21, Ayat 91, Jesus the Son. You won't have to wait for rain to come down with thunder and lightning in the high heaven. There will be rivers flowing underneath, whether the clouds come out or not. The garden is supplied. I was speaking to a group of scholars who an old order of secret science. One of them stood up and asked me to compare Prophet Muhammad and Jesus, Prophet Esau. I told him Jesus was a sign pointing to Prophet Muhammad, the real thing. Yes. Destiny, rational grips, life, and environment. So after all, what is man's destiny? Man's destiny is rational grips of his life and his environment. That means that's man's destiny. Rational grips of his life and his environment. Jesus is an impulse. Jesus was an impulse to shoot the world in that direction, trusting the Lord who will focus man in that direction. Muhammad the teacher. Prophet Muhammad was the teacher, bringing the rational message to educate the people. Yes, bring us in rational context, rational command of our life and our environment. How wonderful that is. Can any of you Muslims now go on living a spiritual life, neglecting this life that must be consummated with the tools of intelligence? No. If you Muslims are real, and if you have understood what we are teaching, you can't rest until you meet your destiny in this better sense. And intelligence to cultivate for the hereafter. Isn't that true? Yes. So we are never satisfied until our tools of intelligence are working in this world to make it more useful, more productive, pleasing to Allah, and more benefits to us. Life's a test. The Quran Surah 11, Ayah 7, throne was on the water to test. The Quran Surah 67, Ayah 2, Allah created death and life to test. Allah Most High, he also says that his throne was established upon the water to test you as to who is best in conduct. And he also says that he created the death and the life also to test you regarding amongst you who is the best in conduct. So that tells us something here. It tells us very clearly that certain circumstances for human beings represents a test of the human behavior. It challenges human behavior, certain environmental situation that you find yourself in, those situations are going to challenge your ability to perform in a civilized, excellent way. And if you don't have help coming from somewhere, you will be in a world of trouble. Joseph's moral excellence was priceless. So Quran chapter 12, Joseph's moral ascension. We have this in all of the three of the heavenly religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The story of Joseph, he was rejected by his brothers. They tried to put him away from them, and they did it. He ended up in Egypt. But the Pharaoh, the Egyptian leader, discovered in Joseph something that was priceless, his moral excellence, and they gave him a high position over the storehouses. They trusted him to be over them. Egypt at that time was the richest, most productive of all the nations, so everybody was coming to Egypt for help, especially for food. So one day Joseph's brothers came to Egypt for help, and they had forgotten about him. And he had to remind them that he was their brother. He did not turn them down. They had sold him into slavery, rejected him, lied to their father about his circumstances that had happened to him. They said to their father, here is his shirt. It has animal blood on it to make his father think he was killed or devoured by animals. But Joseph didn't reject them or refuse to give them rations or supplies they needed with food. He asked about his brother Benjamin, and he gave them food. So here is a nation welcoming a moral person because of his moral excellence into a government, into a high position, to where he was trusted to be over the storehouses, distribution of food, and I think that has more meaning than just food. That is to tell us that the most valuable achievement for the human person is moral excellence. So we know no matter how much education one has, and I am not knocking education because it permits you to do wonderful things, but without the moral nature, you may create hell for yourself and hell for others. You may end up bringing your life down. I've known people who have gone to school to achieve degrees, and just a little thing troubled them, and they fell down. They couldn't stand up anymore and become habitual drunk. They lost their respect for their own life. That can happen. But if your moral life is saved, and everything else will be saved. If your moral life is saved, your intellect is saved. You are saved for your possession, for your work in this world. Ultimately, it is the moral factor that determines the fate of the individual, family, and the world. So if we have more of a quality moral life in our family, there would be in good condition, and we would not have so many families in the pitiful state that they are in now. And so it is for community. If we would purify our spirit and seek more quality for our moral life as a race or as a people, as an African-American or community, we would come into a new life. We would become productive. We think this great production that the United States has is owing to our scientists and to our great industrialists, etc. No, it is owing to the excellence in this society that has opened up the minds of people and made them more respectful of things that should be given respect. And because of its higher appreciation of human life and the many things that benefit human life, we have this great production. It is because of loyalty to higher principles, because of appreciation of human life in its excellence, that these industrialists and others are working to serve American citizens with a better environment, a better life. So when they don't care, they produce hell for themselves and for us. So those who care about human life give us environments that take burdens off of us and free us to have a virtual heaven almost on earth. I do believe we can have a heaven on earth if we all agree in the life that is most important for us, and that is the spiritual life that God wants us to be one people, one accord in one spiritual life, a life of moral excellence. Of the prophet, God said, he sent him to us to purify us and to lead us out of the darkness into the light. So the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of moral corruption into the light. But first we must purify ourselves. This is no spooky exercise. It just means intending to be good, intending to be truthful, intending to be a decent human being, and working at it and realizing that life loss will cause you to lose everything eventually. So challenges bring out the potential in the soul. The role of that spirituality is to have us appreciate the best moral standards of mankind. A people should be judged not by individuals, but by their collective performance. And as a people, we perform excellently. So we have individuals that make trouble sometimes. Small groups make trouble. But as a rational body, we perform well, very well. So that condition, that spirituality in us, I believe is what has moved us to go against racism, against mistreatment of the little fellow, the majority by the minority, until we have come to what we have now in this country, protection for minority rights, inclusion, and a new dignity that we all have in this country as human beings, in spite of the culture that is wayward, astray from that purity that we should have. That is a test, and we won't progress if we don't have a test. We welcome challenge. The more the soul is challenged, the more the good potential in the soul is brought out. I believe this is a testing ground, the land of opportunity and a land of challenge. Myself, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change a thing. It is too good for us. I love a challenge. In fact, if the devil wants to come into my house, he can live with me. I have become tough enough to go to sleep while he is in my house. And believe me, he might be in your house tonight. Joseph was put in position to give food for the mind. In scripture, food is food for the body and also for the mind. Joseph was not only given food for the material body, our flesh, but he was put in the position also to give food for the mind. That is to teach and expand the mind of people, to assist the mind of the people so that they grow wiser, more intelligently, and become more productive. So the more important understanding, I think, would be that the Egyptians put him in charge of the storehouse, meaning that he was in charge of the assisting people with their mental needs. Man from a dispensed fluid. It refers to the evolution of man in the beginning of his rise as a life form. Was much like animals, he did not have human intelligence, he had human body. but he had to grow into human intelligence from an animal. He became a man, human being. And some of us are animals right now. The evidence of that is still around. There are several references. You were involved from a fluid dispense. This is the Quran. If something is dispensed, it is dispensable at least in the opinion of the one who is dispensing it. There are other references to the inferior beginning of human life. We begin inferiority and we grow to excellence, but we begin as inferior creatures. So this is science and this is religion both. The Quran Surah 2, Ayat 31 and 31, Ayat 31 and Surah 31 and Ayat 10. We need physical things to express, deliver something that is abstract. See how we made the world above you and see how they are supported with no visible support under them. So this land we stand upon is really floating through space. God stands us up in our physical body, spiritual on balls at all sockets. So the world is knocking on our door and asking for us to recognize our essential life form. Allah has no pillars. Pardon me. Allah heaven, no pillars. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 2, sky raised without support. Now, El-Islam wants to condition us for the work we have to do for our families and our neighborhood and our world, and how does it condition us? It tells us that the things that are invisible, the things that are not seen, they are stronger than the visible, what you see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the sky. See how those bodies are held up there. And it seems as though there is not structure to support them. They are not supported by visible structures. There are planets up there, Jupiter, much bigger than the Earth, much heavier than the Earth. But we can go out there and get a telescope sometime, maybe. We can see it with our eyes if we know where to look for it. And it is up there in the space, suspended in space. And it seems as though nothing is holding it up. Now, we know something is holding it up when we learn science, astronomy, etc. We know what is holding it up. Science identifies what is holding it up. But for the human eye, we don't see anything holding it up. So imagine that, the earth that we are on right now, we could not know the size of it unless science has not discovered how to measure the size of the earth, how to know something about it. We wouldn't know how to measure it. We would think it was endless. You don't see any end to the earth. You keep going and you think it is endless. Look how amazing God's creation is. We can't really know it with our common sense, with our common mind. Look at space. These are things God wants us to think about so that we will be conditioned to be successful in our life on earth. He wants us to have faith. So he created a world to signal to you things that tell your thoughts and excite your intellect, excite your mind, and make you want to ask questions. Why? How long? Where does it end? Where are we going? These are the thoughts that brought people to believe in God and became thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of the creation. So God wants to prepare us to be successful. So he made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky and he said, look at the sky, how he made it. Then he tells us that he sees us not only from the earth, but he says he sees us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn from science nutrients come down with the rain, not just rain. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayah 3, pairs. He has designed it to operate in the pattern of pairs. The pairs of two in the pattern of pairs. Wherever there are effects, there are causes for those effects. Wherever there are problems, there are solutions for those problems. God has not given us imbalance in life, and God has not given us a severe truncated life or a limited life in any part of it. God has given us a whole and complete life. And whenever we find one thing operating in a diseased way or in a problem way, we will also find the help for that thing if we look close enough. There was help for us no matter what the problem is. There was always help for us. So I'm speaking now of the problem that we seem to have in a comfortable state of mind for ourselves. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 4, one water, different plants. God says in a parable in the Quran, see how from the one water plants come up different from each other, inferior and superior to each other, some with inferior qualities, some with superior qualities, all watered by the same water. There are people we hate to recognize that all human beings are the same, never have been, never will be. Each one of us are free to earn a reward from Allah. Some of us are not as interested in pleasing Allah as others. Some are more selfish. They grow into thorns and crabgrass. Others are more inclined to God. They are less selfish. They want to help others as well as themselves. They grow into something beautiful, attractive to all people. God says he waters the earth with one water, and plants come up different from each other in equality and worth. So human aspirations, again, dear people, let us look at human aspirations, something that we want. But some of us are so selfish in our aspirations that we grow unhumanly instead of humanly. So God, he has to tell us what is our own aspiration. That's what we have to realize, that God, he feeds us the life for the spirit as well as the life for the flesh. He feeds us, and we have to also understand that it's Almighty God who establishes us. We don't establish ourselves. He establishes us. Einstein didn't make himself the successful scientist he was. Pasteur, or none of the rest, made themselves successful scientists. It was because of the blessings of God that they became successful scientists that they were. They were given a brain. Their brain was a gift. Brain, interest, and drive. Of God, the health of it was a gift of God. The interest was a gift of God. They had to have an interest. If they've got the brain and not interest, nothing happens. You have to have interest. The drive was the gift of God. Interest and no drive and nothing happens. Yes. And then God comes and aid all of that and make accidents happen to show the scientists something that they couldn't find scientifically. How many great discoveries we have heard of that the report says, no, I wasn't after that. I was after something else. I ran up on this by accident. So the Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 4, earth, water, one, yet many different plants. Look how the same earth that appears to be no different from the earth over there produces this thing in excellent, beautiful quality, and the same earth looking at the same over there can't produce it. And I look at the desert where the Arabs roamed. You know, they used to be Bedouins. And they roamed the desert. What out there to inspire culture, but yet the Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 4, different plants from the same one water. Souls are expressions and branches of the one soul. So this is responding to a question about the soul. After a person dies, the soul of that person. We talked about the soul as one soul. We are one human soul. And all other souls are expressions and branches of that one soul. So the human soul, in fact, we are nothing but that same. If you can imagine this bottle of water, the water in this bottle being all the souls on earth in their original form, as God created it. That is the human form with human sensitivity. The original soul with its human sensitivity as God made it in the beginning. If you can imagine this bottle of water being all of that. My soul is from this water. Your soul and every other soul is from this water. Just as this water is in this bottle, no change. But once we become conscious, then just like water feeds the corn seed, and the corn seed becomes a corn stalk. And the stalk becomes ears of corn, right? So the same one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the same water comes down and waters the life, but some life comes up superior, some life comes up inferior. Soul is a real life. Race, culture is merely its dress. So it is the same water, same soul. But when it comes into us and we become conscious, then that water takes on forms and it becomes Waris Yudin Muhammad. It becomes you. And then our life, the way we live, and in the environment where we live makes us different. But all of us should keep the purity that we got out of this bottle, because what we are dispensing or dressing, pardon me, up is the soul. The soul is the life. It is the real life. And our culture, our ethnicity, our rational characteristics and rational spirit, all of that is nothing but expression dressed up that we put on this original water. So if you dress up this original water without a respect for this original water, without a love and a respect for this original water, you are not keeping the content. A good human, you can't go far. So the nations, we have left their humanity, and they are just Africans or Nigerians or Guyanians or African-Americans over here. You are nothing but black people, or you are African-Americans, but you are not in touch with your human essence in its purity. You will not go far. The only life that can go far is the original human nature. America has built its whole society on the recognition of what I'm telling you right now. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all humans are created equal and endowed with certain inalienable rights. So they are talking about the soul, and it says that the government cannot give you this, and the government can't take it away. So this is the wisdom of the founding fathers, and they perceive the human nature being the basis of life for human beings, and that is the life that they have to base the rights available to citizens on. So the right available to citizens are based upon your right to that life. And that's the life that wants to pursue happiness. That's the life that wants to have dignity and respect in the world. So you lose that, you don't have much. The average black person, they don't want much. They want just what you give your dog. You give your dog food. You give your dog a place to live and a place to bark and carry on. Let it go out for a walk, and you let your dog have sex sometimes. That is all they want. They want no more than what you give a dog. As Allah says in the Quran, they want no more than what cattle have. Their life is just no more than the life of a cattle. The Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 1, Quran sent to bring man out of darkness. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayat 203, Quran light. The Quran, Surah 53, Ayat 7 to 17, Najah, Muhammad, ascension. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 51 to 52, Prophet, one brotherhood. Bukhari, page 4, 429, heaven, seven prophets. So we know what broke the dark ages, and God says that he has revealed the religion, revealed the Quran. For what purpose? To bring mankind all out of the darkness into the light, out of the darkness of bad morals, moral blindness, out of the darkness of rational blindness, out of the darkness of social ignorance into the light. So he is the leader, and that's what you should be advancing now, that statement that Muhammad is the leader of the modern world. World is not, is nighttime. So we have to lift out minds and spread and spirits up. We have to lift our gaze up and look a distance up the road. So you want to really have an accident driving on a dangerous road? And life is a dangerous road if you don't know what you're doing. If you want to really have an accident at night, and this is nighttime. The world is always nighttime. Only God's way is day. So you are driving on a small, dangerous road, and it's winding like a snake. Sometimes, and some of you drive without light. And here come a big, huge vehicle coming your way with bright light. And suddenly you are totally blind and you are off the road forever. You're gone. And then some of you, many of you, look right in front of your vehicle and your eyes are not going to be on the vehicle. So you're headed for a terrible collision. You got to lift your gauge up and put your eyes with your lights into the road, a distance ahead of the moving vehicle. The Quran exams are the religion. No, now also this brother Imam, I'm talking to you because you say you're a Muslim. You say you served in al-Islam. So I'm talking to you. And know this also, that whether they are teaching in those private quarters, Christianity, theology, Christian interpretation of scripture, they even try to interpret the Quran for Muslims now. Whatever they are doing, know that their religion itself is to be advanced by al-Islam. Their religion is to be advanced by the Quran and Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. They have only been able to advance because of God revealing the Quran and putting Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in the world as their leader. Whether they are Jews, Christians, or any other, Muhammad is their leader. There are many signs, but I don't need those. All I need is to know what al-Islam is and look at the world. I know who the leader is, but there are signs too. When God took Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, up into the heavens and showed him the leaders in the past of God's beginning with Adam himself, he greeted them all as his brother. Because prophets belong to the same fraternity, for what of a better world, the same order of messengers, prophets of God. So he ascended this order from Adam and Jesus Christ, Joseph, Yusuf, Idris, Aaron, and Moses, and Abraham. So Muhammad is the Imam, leader of the other prophets. Prophethood progressed and evolved to Muhammad. I don't think I missed any, and the greatest, and greeting each of them as brothers except for Adam and Abraham. He greeted them, Father. So this is Judaism in Christianity. So we know that the first father is Adam and the second father is Abraham. So after greeting them, what did he do? He led them in prayer. So who is their imam? Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is their imam and their leader. So what is that to tell us? That even prophethood is an evolving thing. Prophethood is a progressional thing itself. God was evolving and progressing prophethood and revelation. So it becomes complete for all the needs of mankind. And who was the last in that? Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So who should be the leader of the rest? Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. If God sent messengers one behind another to make contributions to advance his way, to contribute to the advancement or towards the advancement of his way, then the last one to finish the job, he is the one that has it all, though before only had part. Darkness, symbolic with ignorance. So the Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 1, we have revealed, bring from darkness to light. So the darkness is the darkness of ignorance. You don't know, you don't need anybody to lead you out of the darkness of night. All animals know how to wake up when day comes and go out and take advantage of the daytime. It's talking about the darkness of ignorance. When you don't know the answer, you can't see your way. When you don't know the solution, you can't see your way to work the problem. You don't know how to do it. You can't see how to do it. And you say that we use that expression. We are talking about knowledge, not this physical light and darkness. We are talking about the light and the darkness of knowledge. We say we can't see that. I don't see it that way. These are expressions of the language that witness these expressions or witness that we already have the term light and darkness, or darkness and light for knowledge, not just for physical environment. So the Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 15, seek word dominance is denied. God says, for them I say to you, God says in our holy book, he will never give the rule, that is the power over others, other nations, to anyone who seeks corruption or seeks a dominance. So the Quran, Surah 15, Ayat 27, when I breathe into him, my spirit now to him. Genesis 2:7, breath into man, he became a nostril living soul. World is a god. So the world is called a god, and the world itself under a deep sleep and began to have a desire. It felt lonely, and it needed or wanted something. So the book says in Genesis that it is not good that the man should be alone. This means that it is not good for the early Christian communities to be lonely and suffering like it was. What God is this speaking? This is not the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the creator of the church. Adam himself, and he was already dead divinely. The breath of life was not as the Bible Genesis would make you think. The breath of divine origin. So this breath was the breath of a grafted world order. It was the breath of something false and contrary to divine. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayat 12, Iblis made of fire, man made man of mud. The Quran, Surah 15, Ayat 27, Jinn made before from scorching wind. So the Holy Quran said that the being of life, or the jinn were made from before. That is before the man was made to be the crown of creation. The scientists of the world think that they have made themselves, but they are blind children using our tools. The jinn boast that God made him before he made man. The jinn say that they were before Muhammad and that they will not submit to him. They say that they came up the hard way and they got their knowledge by their own efforts. They say they are not men of the spirit of divine man. They say they are men of knowledge. They say they don't submit to religious teaching and that no religious leader will tell them what to do. Fire means knowledge of the world. Fire means a body of knowledge that is of the world. Man likes to look at it and be near it because it gives them warmth. They use it to cook their food and to do things for themselves. They use it to light their world so they can see. We don't call electric bulbs fire, but they are fire too. If you don't believe it, go and put your hand on one of them, and you will see hot. It is also fire. So the light of the world is also fire. So the scientists have built their body of knowledge. They say that their knowledge is the light of the world, and had it not before this Muhammad came on the scene. They ask, how are they going to submit to a religious man? They say that he preaches well, and he might be sincere, but God says that nevertheless, he knows something that they don't know. I know that which you know not. So the Quran, Surah 7, Ayah 12, Iblis made of fire and man of mud. The Quran, Surah 15, Ayah 27, Jinn made before from scorching wind. So God says in the beginning that he was going to make a ruler in the earth. He didn't say he made his man to live under other people. I'm talking about God's man. Now, not the one that conquered God's man and made a grafted man. God said that he was going to make a man from the dust of the earth, from the lowest of the people. And when he had breathed into him of his spirit, divine mind and scientists of the world, the wise, the stiff-necked, and proud, who think they know all of know it all, and has been casting their wits against his revealed knowledge. All must drop their books and bow down to man. All praises is due to Allah. According to the Holy Quran, when the wise scientists were ordered to submit to God, man, to God's man that he himself had made, wise with his own mind. One amongst them said he refused. He wouldn't bow down to that which God had made from black mud, fashioned into shape. He wouldn't submit to bow to God's man because he said that God made him of fire and not of mud. The Holy Quran says that the being of the fire or the jinn were made before. That is before man was made to be the crown of creation. The scientists of the world think that they have made themselves, but they are blind children using our tools. The jinn boasts that God made him before he made man. The jinn says that they were before Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and that they will not submit to him. They said that they came up the hard way, and they got their knowledge by their own efforts. They say that they are not men of the spirit of the divine man. They say that they are men of knowledge. They say they don't submit to religious teaching, and that no religious leader will tell them what to do. So fire means knowledge of the world. So fire means a body of knowledge that is of the world. Man like look at it and it be near to it because it gives them warmth. They use it to cook their food and do things for themselves. They use it to light their world so they can see. We don't call electric bulbs fire, but they are fire too. If you don't believe it, go and put your hand on one of them and you'll see it. Hot, it is also fire. So the light of the world is also fire. So the scientists have built their body of knowledge they say that their knowledge is the light of the world and had it before this Muhammad, peace and the peace be upon him, came on the scene. They ask, how are they going to submit to a religious man? They say that the preaches well, that he preaches well, and he might be sincere, but he doesn't have that much sense. We are scientists. God says that nevertheless, he knows something that you don't know. I know that which you know not. Adam, tell them their name. After he made his man and breathed his mind into his head, he told him to tell them, the proud, rebellious scientists, their name. That means to identify so he can see himself. Since God's man has God's wisdom, he can now direct it to this rebellious scientist and tell him how he came into being and tell him what he has done to this world. God says to shine this light into his light. Put out the scientist's light with the bright light of divine and destroy him with light. The Quran, Surah 16, Ayat 3, Allah created earth for just sin. No matter what man does to make the world not just, bad Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, has already made the creation so that the creation itself is going to force man to come closer and closer to justice until there is a just world, a world of justice, of right doings on the part of the ruler or government, etc., mainly referring to government, people with power, not the ordinary person. The ordinary person, the common person, is not responsible for the world not being just. It is the obligation of those who are in power to make the world right. The only thing we do is complain and put our pressure on them, and in many places get killed for doing it. Or we are blessed to have a system of justice like the United States, this democratic system, that we are carrying our problem to the system, the judge, etc. Sometimes you don't have to carry it any further than our aldermen. Sometimes the preacher is not. Just tell the preacher. So the preacher works it out, find a way to solve the problem. So what is this saying is from Quran, really. Justice has been put into the creation. Justice is in the earth, in the sky, and in the way the solar system works. Everything works for justice. And justice is in our nature. And when we go against it, we go against our own good nature. Justice is in everything. Justice is working. If it wasn't for man being created to utilize and make good use of the creation, what's in the ground and what's in the sky and everywhere, justice wouldn't come this fast. Justice would be very slow coming. But because God has made the world the way it is and made our brains and our hearts the way they are, justice comes fast, and justice is coming to keep coming. So the bigger the world gets and the more man utilizes the forces of nature and created things that are in the earth and the sky, the fast justice will come. So justice is promoted by material dominance. The Quran, Surah 16, Ayat 3. God says in our holy book that he created this world, this big material universe, to promote justice. So we believe that natural phenomenon, that the nature of the material dynamics is promoting justice. And the more man engages the material world to bring out its sciences to utilize the benefits of God's creation for his own society, and more justice is coming to be in demand. If you study history, you will see justice is more in demand now than ever before because man has progressed with the material world. He has made great progress using the material world, the material things that God made. There is no peace until there is justice. We believe that. God gives us a picture of this great universe, and he says, its beginning was not in quiet, but in noise, confusion, explosions, and chorus. And this is one of the names for the universe. It says that the universe was in violent commotion. And one of the translations in the Quran, it says, it was a disturbed smoke. And another description, God caused order to come into that chorus. When order came into that chorus and everything received its attention, bodies were given their freedom to have their own orbit and to have their own place in the beautiful picture of the universe. Everything got its respect, and it was given its freedom to be in the soul, in the whole picture, and to have its existence and its function in the whole picture. Then we had order. Then the heavens were at peace. God gives us that to show us what must happen on this earth. When we can respect our sister nations as we respect ourselves, when we can give them the same freedom to have their own orbit and not impose our ideology on them, etc. And that as long as the support, the order that the peace for all mankind, we should tolerate their differences, even their differences in ideology. That's what I believe justice is. Justice is having the kind of thought, the kind of mind, and accepting everything God created for dignity, can have its dignity and its life. I would not want to see the United States impose their ideology on others. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elahi Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise. My Lord speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah. It only means that it pleases God. So with that, thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.